one thing I thought was your advice at the end of every podcast, be kind to yourself, because that often is an issue. But what I really got down to is the foundation of everything. And I, underneath the way I work with people is my spirituality. And I read a book called A Course in Miracles. And in A Course in Miracles, it says, you think you have many problems, but you really just have one problem, and that is your belief in separation, believing we're separate from other people. Because we separate from our bodies, we separate from other people, we other people, and we're not meant to live alone. We're not meant to do things by ourselves. We need to connect to other people. So that's the main tip, is connect with other people. Bum, 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 bum.
Thank you, thank you, and welcome to A Fresh Air Inspired Life, celebrating people who move with passion, purpose, and perseverance. I'm your host, Amanda Wise, and it's great to be here. Today's guest has been a resident of the Keweenaw for over 35 years. He lives on a sweet homestead and works in the mental health profession. Perfect for Mental Health Month, if you knew that or not. Please welcome Rich Featherly. Hey, Rich.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes. So, Rich, where did you grow up and where do you live now?
I grew up in central New York State.
Whoa.
Between the Finger Lakes, if you know New York State at all, and Lake Ontario. Mm. So I was within bike riding distance of Lake Ontario and had grandparents that lived a mile away. Mm. So I spent a lot of time exploring the waterways and the woods around central New York. And
lovely.
So I love the outdoors, and My wife, Debbie Hart, and I lived in New York State for a while when we first got together. And we liked New England, but it was a little expensive, too heavily settled. And we heard about this place on Mother Earth News, of all things, the Keweenaw area. And so we decided to come out in the month of December to see if there was enough snow. In December of 87, there was enough snow. Sometimes in December now, we don't always have a lot of snow. Mm-hmm. But and we kind of explored between here and the Ashland area. We put up signs that said we had met apprenticing on a farm in Maine. So we thought, we'll live on your farm and help you, you know, work your farm.
Oh.
And on the weekends, we'll look for a place to live. And that's what we did. Somebody near Ashland took us up on the offer. And so the summer of 88, we were looking around and found the place where we're at.
Wow. So you started working on other people's farms to find out where you wanted to live. And then you ended up where you live now.
Right, yeah.
In the Red Ridge area.
Correct.
Yeah. It's so beautiful over there. Do you love living
there?
It
is, yeah.
Oh, good for you. From one great lake to another.
Right, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. So what's one of your favorite parts about living in the Keweenaw?
Well, I've always liked outdoor recreation, the silent sports, skiing, biking, hiking, just exploring. I used to fish a lot, and I still like to just hike along a stream, you know.
Mm.
And even if I don't fish, I still enjoy just exploring waterways. So I have built mountain bikes on my own land and maybe off the land, and commercial forest land. True confessions here.
Oh, boy. Don't worry. No one's listening.
No. You're right.
Yeah.
But and there's plenty of logging roads, you know, throughout the whole UP, really, that a person can explore on a bike or on skis in the wintertime. So it's a fun place to be.
Yeah, it is. Thanks. So I love all the things that you and your wife do on your property. Can you tell us about some of your favorite projects on your homestead and why that's such an important way for you to live your life?
Okay, so the farm we lived at when we met had a sawmill, a portable sawmill. So we thought, oh, we'll get a portable sawmill. So we've had that within a year after moving here. We got one of those, and so we've produced our own lumber for a lot of the projects that we've done on our place. And then we also bought a big cider press, you know, more of a commercial, small for commercial, but more, you know, a lot easier than the little hand crank cider presses that people have. So we can, you know, make like close to 200, you know, gallons in a day, in an easy day. For people. So we have people bring their apples to us and we make cider for them. We make our own cider because we have apple trees. Too many to count. I wouldn't take too long to count them, but I never have. Maybe 70 or 80.
Oh, wow.
Pretty good bunch.
Holy cow.
Took a while to do the pruning this spring.
Wow.
And we have a big garden. Debbie has flower gardens that I help with a little bit. And we grow quite a few different vegetables, some that people usually don't grow around here is things like sweet corn. You know, not everybody grows sweet corn. It takes a little more space. And the usual veggies, beets. And one day our kids came home, our friends grow beets, why don't we grow beets? And, well, okay, we'll grow beets. Oh. And then the same thing happened with Brussels sprouts. Our friends grow Brussels sprouts, why don't we have them? Well, okay. A little unusual.
Oh, that's funny, though. Yeah. Cool. Well, you know, they're looking around. They're appreciating those things. That's awesome. So why is it important for you to live that way? Like, what's in your heart that drives you to do that? Because that's a lot of work to do all those things. Cut your own wood.
Right, yeah. We cut our own lumber and, of course, our own firewood, too. Unless we're away on vacation, we strictly only burn firewood to heat our house. Which is pretty good size house. So yeah, it is a lot of work. And why do all that work?
Yeah.
Because I saw even early on, now it's more obvious than ever, that it pays to not be tied to capitalism. it pays not to have too many people having control over your life. Because if everything you buy in your life is from one company online, maybe we won't mention names, but they tend to turn into monopolies and start controlling our lives. So I wanted to have a little bit of freedom there, although it's a lot of work, so I don't know how free it is.
Yeah, but I mean, that's self-sustaining where you now grow your own food and you make your own shelter, because what's the most important thing is food, water, shelter. Do you have rain barrels too? You make your own water.
Right. The house came with a shallow well. We had a deep well dug, but it has never given us clear water. It's perfectly usable, perfectly drinkable, but it has a lot of iron sediment in it from the sandstone where we live. So we do also collect rainwater off of our roofs of our buildings.
Yeah, that's great. So really, you are kind of self-sustaining as far as really almost as far as you can be.
And we have some solar panels that are tied to the grid, so if the grid goes down we're out of luck, but it helps us reduce our electric bill, especially in the summertime.
Wow, that's awesome. I just love that. I'm really glad that you're on Tenda talking about this is really fascinating to me, something maybe I'll get to do someday. I don't know, we'll see. But and you raised your kids. Would you mention, do any of them aspire to live that way?
Well, our the one who's the most living like our lifestyle is in Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
And he ended up in Arkansas because he's a trail builder. And he met a Arkansas gal down there and who is very much into the things that I'm interested in.
Wow.
In fact, she's a family member that I converse with easily, most easily. she's into yoga and body work and, mm-hmm. and counseling and
and then
you know, organic gardening and mm-hmm. healthy eating, and so they have a yurt, not a yurt, bigger than a yurt, a dome.
Oh, a dome! Wow, cool.
That they bought from Pacific Yurts.
Okay.
That they have down there in Arkansas, and my son Elias has a sawmill down there.
Wow.
So he's taken after
sawmills for the generations.
Yeah, right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So they're probably the most like our the homesteading lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then my daughter Mariah lives in Minnesota, and they live out in the country, do a lot of, you know, maybe not the same extent of gardening. Mm-hmm. They have so many rocks on their on their land. They use the rocks to build up garden beds and do some gardening. And but she and her husband are teachers in near Giants Ridge in Minnesota. So they do the recreational lifestyle a lot, like we do the skiing and the biking. They're really into that.
Cool. So in case our listener out there is interested in kind of living this way or taking at least one or two things on, what's a way you'd recommend them to get started? I mean, do you think everyone should start out with a sawmill or maybe some apple trees or a garden, some maple trees? Like, how do you suggest someone might get started?
It depends on your resources.
You know, I suppose.
Because if you have a family with some money to lend, you're in good shape. But who has, you know, you're pretty privileged. I'm a little bit privileged that way. So, you know, if you don't have that, it's tough. Land is so much more expensive than it was. You know, our land cost us less than it does for a new pickup truck these days.
Wow.
And you can spend twice as much on a pickup now.
Yeah, and you've been working it for years.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, what a gift.
So I would say maybe find a place to apprentice, find a place that has communal living. You know, mm-hmm. there's not too many of those. Actually right now, I keep thinking, oh, you know, it's such a nice place here. Too bad only two people live here. Mm. But we took on a renter, and our renter is a young man who's into all the things that we are.
Oh, cool.
So it's been really fun having him. He does dishes, he cooks. You
know? Oh, awesome.
He keeps things clean.
You know? Yeah.
He's so responsible for, you know, with the reputation of a young person might normally have. But anyway, and he's got a partner who might be moving in the summer too. Yeah. So, pray that you find a situation that works out.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to have the mega bucks to lay down on land and a new sawmill.
Okay.
We did borrow for the sawmill, but we were able to pay it back pretty fast.
Nice. Well, that's great advice. Yeah, I might have to talk to you about that again someday.
Yeah.
All right, now we're going to switch gears here to get into the mental health field. Mm-hmm. So how did you get started with that?
Well, I actually started with going into the nursing profession.
Oh.
And if you had told me, when I moved to this area, you'll become a nurse and then you'll be a mental health counselor, I would have said, what? But I was working in construction when I first moved here, and it's seasonal. You know, there's not always work in the wintertime, and it pays okay, but it didn't pay great. Mm. So a neighbor, a guy down the road from me, went to nursing school, and I thought, well, if he can go to nursing school, I can too. So I just a spur of the moment, sudden inspiration, I'll go to nursing school. It was at Finlandia, you know, at Suomi College at the time.
Wow.
And since I had already done a bachelor's, I had enough credits. They just let me do it in 2 years instead of making you take prerequisites.
Awesome.
And do it in 3 years. And later on, it became a four-year program. I don't know if I would ever done that.
Mm.
But then, you know, since I didn't research what it takes to be a nurse, I didn't realize you have to be really great at multitasking. Really awesome at multitasking, and I'm just not.
Mm.
I found some great jobs that were good, you know, private duty nursing, you know, take care of one person for 8 hours.
Wow.
You're good. I stopped being able to find new nursing jobs when the old one ended. So by that time, I already had started thinking of going into the counseling profession. Mm. So I was able to get into the program at Michigan State, mostly online. I went to East Lansing 3 different times in the summertime for just 4 days.
Oh, okay.
And then went to Marquette once a month as all the UP kids, I called us kids, we were all adults, all the UP kids went to Marquette and had an online class with all the other groups downstate. So, it wasn't quite as much of spur of the moment decision like nursing was, because I had started realizing, I'd had my own difficulties, mostly relationship difficulties. You know, relationships are difficult, as you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'd gone to counseling myself, and I didn't think it helped a lot. You know, I didn't see what they were trying to get to. They weren't good at explaining, you know, what helps and what doesn't. So I started just doing my own research.
Oh.
And that is what I learned there made me realize, oh, maybe I should go into this myself so I can do it better.
Great. That's a great reason.
So, I hope I'm doing better than the counselors I had. You know, you have to decide whether you work well with the counselor. If you go to see a counselor, if you are fortunate to have the insurance or the, you know, funds to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So not every counselor is going to work for every client. So,
okay.
So, you know, I have people that come and meet with me a time or two and I don't see them again. They stop, they let me know they're going to stop, or they just stop showing up. And, you know, that's just part of the business.
I suppose.
Yeah. So, but I have some who have been with me for years. I had no idea that people would need counseling for years, but actually, you know, considering what they've gone through in their life, no wonder.
Yeah.
So, how about I let you ask clarifying questions?
Sounds great. Yeah. So how does that fulfill you? I mean, so you're taking on a role hoping that you do better than the services you receive. So how do you feel fulfillment? Like, how can you tell, or how do you know, or what does it do for you that's like, wow, yeah, I'm in the right field?
Actually, I had a client ask me this.
Yeah?
And so in my office, I have a quote from, quote from A Course in Miracles. I don't, you know, cite the quotation, but it says, everything we do is love or a request for love. And the lettering for love I put in red, the other letters are blue, and underneath in red letters, I have things like acceptance, respect, understanding, play, of course, food, air, water, shelter, the basic needs, you know, basic human needs. I don't know if you've heard of Maslow, maybe. Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
Everything we need is some version of love. We need understanding. We need a pat on the back. So what I told my client, what I'll tell you, is that I get to do a kind of work that's basically love. I mean, I can't provide every kind of love a person might need. Some things I'm not supposed to, you know, touch, you know, those things I'm not supposed to deal with. But people like understanding. And that's actually what I was looking for when I was, you know, what I felt I wasn't getting when I was in counseling myself.
Yeah.
Wasn't, you know, I need the understanding. What's going on? So, I get to just love people.
So then how can you tell, like, is there a sign maybe you can read on someone's face or something that they say that you know that you've reached them, that they say, aha, or is there something that, some feedback that you can get where you're like, oh, yes, we made a breakthrough or something like that?
That's a tough question. I don't have any images in mind. Actually, you know, what really helps is we are so ashamed of our emotions that if I it can allow people to have emotions. Mm-hmm. Like if my client is crying, mm-hmm. sometimes I apologize. Oh, I'm sorry I made you cry. But also I'm smiling because, good, we've got some emotions.
Yes.
Because emotions are key for being able to loosen up those old stories and replace it with a better story. It's called memory reconsolidation. Mm. You know, there's neurobiological research about it. You know, emotions put those stories in the first place.
Yes.
And it takes emotion to loosen them up so we can, you know, boot them out of there.
Yeah, clear it. Clear it and fill it with new good things.
Right.
Yeah.
Something more realistic, more true.
More true, yes, for their own reality. Wow, that's really mm-hmm. cool. So people can get clarity about their thoughts and motives by talking to a counselor. Mm-hmm. Once they get that clarity, how do you recommend they put it to use in their daily life?
The understanding part is real important mm-hmm. because people will always have what we call stress. Mm-hmm. I blame stress on everything. Mm. And stress is just a fancy name for fear and the effect that fear has in our body. And so we will notice either that our nervous system is riding the gas pedal a little too much. Mm. So we feel anxiety mm-hmm. or muscle tension and aches and pains because it comes out in our body too. Or we might notice that the brakes in our nervous system is a little too depressed. And depressed is a great word because that's how we feel when the brakes is happening too much in our body. So and that causes not only feeling depressed, but all kinds of health problems. Because our mental health and our physical health are so intricately intertwined that it's impossible to separate the two.
Yeah, so you'd maybe just recommend to say, hey, are you pushing the gas too much or pushing the brakes too much? I mean, that's even someone can simply just do a quick check on themselves.
Right, yeah, and it helps because otherwise people think, oh, what's wrong with me? You know, I'm anxious, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. I'm depressed, what's wrong with me? No, it's your nervous system and it's just, and there, you know, So like I'm having dizzy spells. I can hardly drive because I'm feeling so dizzy. Well, what stress has been happening lately? Mm-hmm. What is causing the brakes in your nervous system to make you almost faint? The brakes is fight, flight, or freeze. Mm-hmm. Not fight or flight. Fight or flight is the gas pedal.
Okay.
Freeze and a milder form of freeze is fawning, you know, being too nice, you know, taking care of everyone besides yourself. So it's fawn, freeze, faint. I'm having to visualize my chart.
Wow.
Fawn, freeze, faint. And of course, the faint part is where that dizziness comes part.
Okay. You
know, comes from.
Interesting.
So, I'm feeling dizzy. Oh, my nervous system has a foot on the brakes. Okay, what caused the foot on the brakes? Oh, I'm scared about this, you know, people I'm afraid of coming by or whatever.
Yeah, that's such a great way to dig into it and look beyond how you feel in the moment because mm-hmm. that feeling wants your attention for a worry that you have or a stress coming on. So just the more you can stop and pay attention.
And it's just a natural reaction. There's a perfectly good explanation
for it. It is.
Rather than, you know, what's wrong with me?
Right. Oh, that is such great advice to tell someone. So besides that, which I think is awesome, and I hope our listener uses that information, what are some of your other favorite techniques or exercises that you would share with your clients, and do you use them yourself at all? What do you use yourself?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely, yeah. My most common symptom is laying awake at night.
Mm.
I do have also, like, aches and pains, mm-hmm. and, you know, I can kind of point to in my mind to what stress is causing that. But when I'm laying awake at night, there's all sorts of things that I've found that work. One is gratitude. Just think of things that you're grateful for. Because our mind is so good at thinking of negative things, you know, things that we didn't like, things that we're worried about happening in the future. So if we can change our mind to focus a little bit on some positive, it changes our whole brain state.
Mm-hmm.
So that works. Breathing techniques. There's one that Dr. Weil teaches called 478 breathing. If you Google Dr. Weil 478, you'll get his you know, videos of him teaching his breathing technique. And I've used that to get to sleep at night pretty well.
Nice.
And then there's a meditation technique where you focus on the part of you that's the focuser. I'm focusing on my breathing, and I'm focusing on the part of me that's focusing on the breathing. It's interesting. So a lot of meditation, you're being aware of breathing, or you're being aware of things outside of you, or you're being aware of your body. But this kind of meditation is you're being aware of awareness.
Which,
that's the real you. The aware part is the real you.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I find, you know, I wake up, wait a minute, I must have been asleep. Last thing I knew, I was just, you know, doing that for 30 seconds, doing that meditation.
So it really works.
Yeah.
Wow. And so just, I like how you actually use these techniques and exercises. Right, yeah, Do you ever find yourself where you maybe, I don't know, because sometimes, you know, we say really practice what you preach. And do you feel like it's easy for you to really embody doing those things right away? Or do you think, oh, wait, what would a counselor tell me? I need to stop and breathe and think back to what's going on. Like, how easy is it for you as a counselor to put that into action?
Well, I have found myself at times being upset about things and then thinking, hey, wait, I'm a counselor. I shouldn't be upset about this. I shouldn't be ruminating about this. So that happens.
Yeah. And one thing, just I want to speak on that. It's really natural to feel anger and feel frustration.
Right.
But the rumination is where we get caught up in it and don't let it stop and just keep it going. So to tell yourself, okay, I'm angry right now. What is this about? Can I breathe through it? Like, how can I get through this? Maybe I need a walk in the sunshine, in the snow, whatever. And just you can't just stuff those emotions down is what I'm getting at. Because they cause that pain and all those things that erupt in tears.
I have a theory. I haven't heard anyone explain it as clearly as I think it. And that is the two responses to stress that we have, the gas pedal and the brakes, they cause certain symptoms.
Mm.
But some of those symptoms are things we can do. Like the brake pedal causes you to not feel emotions. If you are a deer and a mountain lion has caught you, you don't want to feel your emotions. You don't want to feel pain. So you go into that freeze response. But if us humans, we can avoid emotions. And if we avoid emotions, it causes our nervous system to push on the brakes.
Mm.
So I call it bidirectionality of cause and symptom.
Okay.
We can, if our nervous system is riding the gas pedal, we'll be breathing faster and shallower.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to lift, we're a weightlifter and we want to lift the biggest weight ever, we breathe fast and shallow to get us into that.
Pumped up.
Yeah. Into that, you know, pushing on the gas pedal so that we can lift that weight. And for the same reason, the breathing techniques are meant to act as a counteract the symptoms of stress. The gas pedal causes you to breathe faster. The brake pedal causes you to breathe shallower.
Mm.
So if you breathe slower and deeper, it counteracts both of those.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Oh my gosh, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. That was pretty good. One more good one. Okay. So do you find yourself trying to, quote, fix or dig into people kind of in your daily life because you feel like you see them struggling and you're like, well, I know what you could do. Why don't you try this? Do you feel yourself doing that? Or you just say, hey, they didn't ask for my help. I got to leave alone.
Of course, it's a temptation.
Yeah.
Especially when I hear people talk about chronic pain, because it's easier to talk about chronic pain or chronic issues than it is to talk about mental health problems. Mm. But if people realize they both come from the same thing, it might be easier to talk about either of them. But yeah, there's, and even as a counselor, we're supposed to not be into the fix-it mentality.
Okay.
Because it just, removes a person's autonomy.
Yes.
Because everybody has resources in themselves, and if you fix another person, you're taking away their own resources, their own access to their resources.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Wow. So you understand that. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. Is there anything else you want to share about mental health in general? Anything else?
When I talk about using breathing techniques and other strategies to try to undo that, you know, the brakes and the gas pedal in our nervous system, there's one thing that especially strong at keeping the brakes and gas pedal stuck in our nervous system, and that is beliefs.
Mm.
So if we are believing that there's something wrong with me or there's something wrong with the rest of the world, those are going to keep our nervous system stuck in those stress states. So you really need to work on, first of all, realizing that they're there, because some people don't even realize they're there. But once you do, then you know, okay, so not everybody's bad. So what's the opposite of that? How can I install that belief? It takes emotion or some other technique. One that I haven't mentioned yet is called EFT tapping.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of that?
Yep.
Tapping on energy meridians, acupuncture points, while thinking of some stressful event or situation. And that's something I've found real helpful also.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it takes the place of emotion. You know, I'm a typical guy. I'm not great at emotions. But the EFT tapping, for some reason, takes the place of the emotions in, you know, kicking out those old beliefs and implanting something more realistic, more safe feeling.
Yeah.
So, and there's other things that I figure work is on the same way as EFT tapping, and that's EMDR. I don't do EMDR, but a lot of counselors use EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization.
Oh, okay.
So using either eye movement, you're following a bar of lights where the lights go back and forth to the right and left, or you're following the counselor, you know, keep your head straight and follow my finger with your eyes, or wearing headphones where the sound is coming in the right, then the left, then the right, left.
Mm.
So, or you're tapping on right shoulder, left shoulder, back and forth. For some reason, it gets our brain into a state where it can kick out those old beliefs and install new, better ones.
Wow.
So those things are real helpful, too.
Yeah. Thank you. You just gave us so much good stuff. I really love the gas pedal, brake pedal analogy. I feel like our listener can just really incorporate that in their daily life. And anytime they're thinking, oh God, what's wrong with me? Like that's your trigger right there to think, I just said, what's wrong with me? Okay, what's going on? Am I going too fast? Am I going too slow?
Yeah.
Maybe I need to breathe. I think that's just a great application in daily life. So thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. And thank you so much for all you do with that and being love for people. That's way cool.
Like so, I say, what I can't think of a better work than to help people understand what's going on in their head, and which is, you know, understanding, I think, is a form of love. So
make them feel love, show them that they are loved and they are made of love. That's awesome. All right, so what do you like to do for fun, Rich?
For fun, ski and hike and bike and paddle a kayak or a canoe, be on water, explore little streams, explore waterfalls, swim when it's hot enough.
Nice.
Sauna.
Yeah, for sure.
Sauna when it's cold.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Thanks. And do you have any other wise words for us today?
Oh, I can't think of... You've some of your guests, I wish I could remember the advice of some of your guests.
Ah.
Like some of them, people you there was a lady you met at a writing workshop.
Uh-huh.
She has so many wise words. It's amazing. But yours, you know, be kind to yourself and, you know, try to work on understanding what's going on in your nervous system so you don't have to be asking those questions of what's wrong with me. No, it's not wrong with you. It's what's happened to you.
And what, what's happened. Right. Yes. And how you're responding to it.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just biology.
It is. Thank you. Thank you again so much. And thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Aw. So, and thank you, dear listener. Till next time, take a deep breath and realize if you're pumping the brake or the gas, and be good to yourself. Ba-ba-ba-da-da-da-da. Ba-ba-da-ba-do-da-da. Ba-ba-da-da-da-da.